Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late. Everybody.
Wake up late.
Wake up.
It's late. Time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Kuro's praising, now you know.
We're the hottest show in this place.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
I said one, two, three.
Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida, it's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now, let's start the show.
Welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida, and I'm joined in the studios today by Ciro Dobrik.
Hello, hello, hello.
Our lovely co-host, our new co-host on Monday, she's already like, she's like the regular, like a vacationing co-host. Like
She's what everybody wants to complain about.
Yeah.
You got a job? Oh, do you? When do you do it? When I feel like it.
Right.
Oh.
But Jen's celebrating Passover, as many of you probably are, those of you who aren't paganistic heathens. Now, I'm a Roman Catholic, so I know, like, Easter's coming up. By the way, we did mention that we were going to have a show at Funky Buddha for my birthday, and then it was moved from Saturday the 15th to Sunday the 16th. And then we thought, you know what? I don't think it'd be a good idea to have a show on Easter Sunday.
No, you were going to try and roast on Jesus's roast.
Right.
That's
I'm trying to steal the limelight.
Can't be done.
Yeah. So no show at the Buddha on the 16th. But I got to tell you, I had a great time in Greenville, South Carolina. You ever been there?
Never.
Really cool town. Some of these towns, I mean, it's so clean. It's nice. There's all these restaurants and bars and. You know, the comedy venue was great over at Comedy Zone there. Big room, nice big room, you know, wide open. And, just everything went really
great audience.
Yeah. Yeah.
People like to listen.
Yeah. You know, had some, had one of those moments in my set where, you know, I tell a joke and then a little tag. And then, you know, the tag got a response, like somebody laughed pretty hard at the tag.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's basically when I say my interracial joke.
Okay.
You know, like I know about him. He doesn't know enough about me. And I tell the joke. I say I'm not leaving a big enough impression. Right. You know, the idea is he's a black guy, I'm a white guy, and we're banging the same girl. And and some guy starts laughing. Some white guy in like a paisley type shirt, looks like a college, like a grad student kind of kid. And I looked at him. I go, oh, well, you obviously have a small dick, sir.
Right,
you know,
right, right.
And everybody just went nuts. And I'm like, oh, I got to remember that one.
I love it when they work out. It's like the timing of everything
works
for you to just elongate a joke. Just keeps going and going.
So it's, yeah. You know? And I don't know why you're saying elongating a dick joke, but, you know, maybe for that guy.
Extends.
Yeah.
Extends.
Is that stuff still on the market, Extends?
I believe so. I don't use it anymore.
No. It just got big enough. You're like, okay, enough already.
I was
already.
Like, you know what? Listen, I can't see anymore, so I don't know if this is going to be working out.
Our good friend Perry Sack takes a lot of these boner pills.
Oh, wow.
And they look like the cheap ones because they're like in red capsules. And he says, it may give you a headache. And I took one time. And these things, I guess they're a blood thinner.
Right, right.
So make,
right.
Blood thinner. That reminds me, one time I thought I was having a heart attack. I went to the Aventura Hospital emergency room. That's when I worked at the bank. I was sitting there like getting all hypochondriac, like my left arm hurts. What's going on? I'm feeling tension. And the truth was my mother, who was alive at the time, but driving me crazy with shit, you know, calling me like 15 times a day. Oh, I got this important letter. Mom, it's a fucking survey letter.
Right,
you know,
right,
like
right.
Every little thing. You know, she would try to change the channel with the fucking, with the phone, you know, and she was trying to answering the remote. It was just crazy times. So, and I thought I was having a heart attack. So I go there and they put me in the emergency room and I got the worst headache from the blood thinner. They intervene so you don't have a heart attack and you get a headache. So that's like the boner pill.
Of course. Well, you know, you take one boner pill and you end up in the hospital. What are you going to do?
Right.
You know, you keep taking boner pills? No.
No, you got to stop after a while. Otherwise, you become a pole vaulter. You know, oh, no, it's okay. I got my own pole. So, yeah. So, you know, we think a guy like Perry would give you a boner pill. And, you know, I don't know. Like, I took Viagra once. The wife and I were in the Bahamas. And they did. They definitely work. And, yeah. But I don't want to, you know, that's like, you don't want to get your girl used to that. You know what I mean? Next thing you know, you're getting Viagra all the time. And then you take a break and she's like, what's going on? You know, yeah. And you're like, hey, you don't like the regular me?
She doesn't like your funny self anymore.
Right.
Your jokes aren't funny.
Yeah. I like a guy with a sense of humor and a 4-hour erection.
Jeez.
Right?
Does it last longer than 4 hours? What do they do?
Yeah. Call a friend.
Do they pop it?
Well, Perry had that problem. Perry, you tell me about the problem. He overdosed on boner pills, and he said that they actually do that. They take, there's so much blood pressure in there, they actually slice along the shaft and let the blood out. Can you imagine?
That's for real?
Yeah.
Ugh.
And he's all happy though. He says it made his dick bigger now because it stretched out now that the skin. So I'm like, I'm gonna OD.
It's like when you cook a hot dog.
Yeah,
you gotta cut that.
Exactly. Imagine it bulges out like that, seeing your dick look like a sausage on 4th of July, sitting there on the barbecue grill.
The shadow puppet it makes now.
Next time you're at a barbecue with fucking Perry, go, wow, Perry, that looks painful.
Well, that's the beginning of the transsexual surgery,
right.
Isn't it? They gotta cut both sides off or open down.
Yeah, and then they flap it open.
You know, for a while I was saying that Bruce Jenner, Caitlyn Jenner,
right.
Whatever Jenner.
Right.
He was thinking about not going all the way through with it.
Right.
Turns out, went through with it.
Did he? He's got his penis sliced and diced?
Well, you know, that's a really bad mark on Wheaties.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it'll make you strong, it'll make you champion, but it'll also confuse the shit out of you.
Yeah, you'll eventually turn into a woman. By the way, yeah, I would say that maybe you should overdose on boner pills, and then you get your penis sliced open, and then you got a bigger dick, and then, you know, maybe you'll find girls, and then you'll have, but that's the thing, you don't want to get addicted to the boner pill. You don't want it, like, you know what I mean? Like, my wife is like, hey, like, leaving coupons on the table.
It's
like, oh, boy, look what I found in the newspaper. Blue, you know, there's a sale on Viagra.
You know, they always say that marijuana is a gateway drug. No, boner pills.
Boner pills usually lead to cocaine, because then you got a big boner and you can't find anyone around. So then you get the cocaine, you go get the strippers, and now you got a hotel room in South Beach, and all of a sudden the party comes together.
That's
right.
So, yeah.
That's what happens. And then the hookers and the strippers want to have fun. So now you got to get the Molly and the ecstasy. Now you're doing Molly and ecstasy and going to work on Monday all depressed. But then you get it's hard to be depressed when you're thinking back that you had like 16 girls on your face. You know,
well, I believe that's what Flocka was invented for, to
right.
Bring it all back into perspective.
Yeah. Give you something to think about. Anyway, so a lot happened from last week. You know, we did the last show. Actually, on Wednesday we had a show with Frank Del Pizzo and, of course, Marionette Torres, who were on last week's show at the Wise Guys Comedy Show. We had a special show. Don't forget, we are on the Bubba Army Radio on the weekends.
Oh,
if you
yeah.
miss anything here, just tune in there. And at 4 o'clock, we have the 4 o'clock spot on the weekends on Saturday and Sunday amongst their replays. But what was I saying?
Lots happened.
Huh? Oh, what's happened since? So, all right. So, we know. All right. So, on a sad note, what happened since our last show? It was Don Rickles died.
Man.
And, you know.
Legend.
Right? I mean, I thought somebody said that you put it so good on Facebook when I put, you know, Don Rickles, rest in peace, one of the funniest people to ever live.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you think when it's all said and done.
And what a niche. There's no, you know, insult comedy, you have to be really likable.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
To pull that off, like, people have to just want to hug you after you say the things he said.
Yeah, and I said this before, like, I've worked, you know, Rich Voss is a friend, I work with him. He's a guy that, to me, it's like the closest I've ever seen where somebody can just start ripping on you and everybody loves him.
Right.
Right? Well, there are a few people that after the show want to kick his ass.
Well, I cannot imagine nobody wanted to ever kick Don Rickles' ass. You know what I mean? I'm pretty sure they're after the show going, excuse me, I don't know if you know what year it is.
Yeah. You know, Peter Lender from the show, always has a joke when he's at a bar or something like that, and there's a dude with a good looking woman. He's like, "Oh, you brought your daughter? You know, are you here with your dad? Right. You know?" And that, you know, they always look at him like, "I could fucking kill you," right? So,
and now though it's 50-50. Could be, he could just be right.
Yeah, it could be.
You know what I mean? It doesn't.
It could be with a daughter. So, you know, Don Rickles. I mean, you know. And like I said, that you know, I mean, at this point, you don't want to see him still perform. The guy was at 90, and he was, but they said even till the end, he was pretty much making, you know, ripping
still
people.
Sharp.
Right now, here's a guy. You don't think that he became like some agent got a hold of Don Rickles, and you know, maybe he was a real nice comic when he came out. Maybe he was a nice guy, like, "Hey, I got a joke. You want to hear it?" You know, maybe he was one of these guys, or was he just that kind of guy that personified himself on stage, and then everybody said that was him. That was truly. You know, like,
you never know, because as your voice gets more and more and you figure out how to do this,
right?
It could be 180 degrees from what you started doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Carlin, you know?
Yeah.
Suit and tie.
Yeah, but I think when he first came out, he was doing that because that's what, you know, that was early TV and that was what you had to do. And then eventually, he just started doing what he wanted to do.
Right.
Because then, yeah, that's what happens on stage. You know, you eventually become, I think the biggest thing I learned in my growth in comedy was, you know, I'm not performing anymore. In other words, I'm not going out there to do my jokes or my set list. I'm going out there now just to hang out. I'm going out there to, like, I'm Dougie. I'm going to go hang out with these, you know, 100 people, whatever it is. You know what I mean? I'm going to talk about what the fuck I want to talk about. You know what I mean? And I'm going to feel good about it because this is the stuff I think about.
This is my show.
You know what I mean? And then people are like, "Oh." And by the way, speaking of that, and speaking about dealing with people, we were at the Grand Tavern.
Yeah.
Open mic last week.
Fun.
Right? Great room over there. And our friend Nadim. By the way, Nadim gave me a scratch-off ticket for my birthday.
$25.
Right? Some people think, "Oh, well, that's fucking..." You know, but it was a $20 scratch-off ticket. It wasn't like a dollar. Like, you know, if you buy somebody a dollar lottery ticket, that's cheap.
Right.
You know, you fucking asshole. But he got me a $20 big old scratch-off card. And I got to tell you, you talk about a boner. There was a moment there I'm scratching off that card, and I get to the money part, as long as it matches your number, and it says million. Okay, that's great. That's a good start. I'm at the million. There's a million in here. And then I see the number 3, and I have 32.
Right.
Right? Or I have 33. And then I'm like, "Oh, fuck." And then I'm scratching. I see the thing down there, and I'm like, I have fucking bet. And 32. Wrong. Ugh. But I got $25. So thanks to our friend.
Happy birthday,
Nadim.
Again.
Yeah, man. My being 50 is not, you know, it's turning out, you know, I've gotten over it a little bit. I'm not as depressed about it.
Can't be.
No, I'm gonna
the prime of your life.
I'm gonna rename 50. In other words, I wanna be one of those people that say, "Fuck, you know, if you're 50, you know." Anyway. Not that I give a shit what anybody thinks. That's another thing. You know what I mean?
You have to learn to give zero fucks.
I can guarantee you that Ciro over here doesn't give a fuck what other people think.
Nope.
Right? You don't give a shit.
I don't think so.
Like, you post stuff about Trump all the time.
Because
you get a lot of people posting back to you.
Oh, yeah. I have an ongoing war.
Like, the minute you post something, all these hoople heads jump on there and start
straight
saying shit
on
to you.
Waiting for it.
Since we were on the subject of things that have happened while we were away, obviously, by now, everybody knows about the 60 Tomahawk missiles that were launched from various destroyers into Syria on the land. Now, the funny part about this whole thing to me is many people have jumped on board and said, "Thank God." You know, now this is a new era where we are no longer the passive, "Let's talk this shit over." You know, Obama said that they got rid of all the fucking proclaimed, even that Herman Munster bastard, the secretary. Was that, what's that?
Mr. Carey.
Yeah.
Heinz Ketchup.
Yeah. Hold on, let me get my jaw. "We got rid of all the..." Fucking idiot. He claimed they got rid of all the sarin gas and everything. And no, they didn't. Of course they didn't. I don't think anybody in their right mind believed it. Or I don't think anybody in their right mind should believe that the administration at that time believed they did it.
Of course not.
They wanted to appease you hoople heads that sit there and follow these liberals and go, "Look, it's okay. We got rid of everything. We got rid of everything. So you don't have to worry about it. We took care of it. And we didn't send a missile over." You know, the world is looking at it, but there's still a few, people that are saying he outstepped his bounds. Look, the guy did what needed to be done. I saw a great video from somebody in Syria that was happy. Now everybody's feeling hopeful that,
Right.
You know, this just watching, the world is watching this thing go on.
They're
nobody's
not
doing.
Empty words anymore.
Right.
You know?
And for everybody who's concerned about this supposedly conspiracy theory about, you know, Russia and Trump, you know, there's actually people, Ciro, that would think that this is all just a joke. Like, we're going to bomb all this stuff. You move your boats. We're gonna act like we don't like each other. We're going to really fool the American public. There's actually people on the left that will think that at just a moment. And
you know, they always say that conspiracy theories, it's too many people have to keep quiet. Well, I guess if you have a leader like Putin and
right.
a guy like Trump, you don't need too many people because who the hell knows what either one of those guys are thinking?
Right.
And obviously, Trump doesn't care.
Right.
He's like, oh, are you thinking that? Okay, 60 tomahawks today.
Right. Yeah.
My favorite is the people that compare the money spent.
Right.
He could have used it for something else. No. They were already built missiles that have been there for years. We've already spent the money and we're in now.
That check is paid. Yeah.
That's really.
And you know, by the way, those Tomahawks, which are made by Raytheon, a company called Raytheon, you know, every time they launch those, then they got to go and make more. So there's a lot of people that work for Raytheon like, oh, we got another 60. Got another 60 Tomahawks to make. I got to be at work tomorrow, honey, at 7. You know, the economic world continues. I think most people are happy. It was an incredible act that, you know, the previous administration drew that. I said this 100 times. Obama drew so many lines in the sand that looked like graph paper, right? If you were standing, that should be a cartoon. There should be a picture of Obama standing on the beach, like in front of a bunch of lines,
that have
a bunch of footprints over them. You know, like, and now he's on the seawall. Now he's all the way by the parking lot because he's still drawing more lines. You know, people don't, you know. Listen, people got to understand that's the way. Now let's see what happens. Do you think the North Korean government, you think Kim Jong-un, that little fat bastard is not going, oh fuck, you know,
well,
going to scare us with a big missile.
They say they're going to do something about it. Well, just remember, you know, we didn't really end the North Korean war.
Right.
We just kind of went home.
Right.
So
let them kind of,
we got new stuff now.
Yeah. Well, really, you know, by the way, North Korea has a submarine they bought from Russia that's like a 1960 sub. So they're all excited. We got a submarine. We're attacking. That thing is as loud underwater as a refrigerator falling down the stairs. Okay? So you guys want to take that thing and try to find us somewhere off the coast of the United States. You know what I love about the North Koreans? You know what I really love? There's nothing. All right, when it comes to the world of, like, army, like, you know what I mean? There's two things that stand out in my mind. First of all, I always try to work on the joke where I would hate to be the guy who gets the shit beat out of him by the Swedish Guard.
Okay.
You know, the Swedish Guard, the guys that protect the Vatican and everything. They wear the big, like, they look like Easter eggs. You know what I mean? They got like
Tweedledee
purple
and Tweedledum.
Yeah, exactly.
All over.
They look like, you know, look like you're in Alice in Wonderland. and you know what I'm saying? They got spears and shit. Could you imagine getting pummeled by a bunch of guys that look like Easter eggs? So that's one thing when I think about military. I think of those uniforms. You know what I mean? Like, okay, do we have any new ideas on our uniforms, please? Anything in black, perhaps? Maybe no, it can't have black. It's the Vatican. Oh, it's dark. Let's have maybe some green. No, green is taken. Okay, let's try something else.
I need protection.
Yes.
What are you thinking? Jester outfit.
Yes. That's just, I want to look like a court jester. Our opponents, our enemy will laugh so hard, then we come and stick them with our bayonets. But we should have guns. Shut up. I'm talking. When it comes to North Korea, though, I love seeing the military officials. They have those hats. They have those huge hats. You know what I'm talking about? They look like you could store a spare tire in that hat. It's just huge, and you got this little Asian guy sitting there, and you got this kaboom. You know what I mean? Like, he's hiding his family in there, so Kim Jong-un won't shoot him.
Too great.
You know what I mean?
What a visual.
The hat. I want a big hat.
I have
big
to say,
hat.
You know, I've never really been scared of the North Koreans.
Yeah.
But there was one movie series that got me thinking.
Yeah.
Best of the Best.
Yeah.
You ever seen that?
I love Best. Great hop. That guy's a Hapkido master.
Uh-huh.
That's my style. That's the throws, the takedowns.
I got to say, the dude with the one eye, the patch.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd bow. I'd have to just go, you win, you know?
Yeah.
Because once you bow, it's on.
If you've never seen Best of the Best, it's a great martial arts movie. Great martial arts movie. Great choreography of moves. And the style of Hapkido, which is Korean jiu-jitsu, basically.
Right.
And that's something I studied for years. But it's magnificent. And who? Derek Richards. No, Derek.
It was Philip Ree was on the American team, though.
Yeah, and then the one, Penn's brother, the fat, chubby guy, Chris Penn, who died, right? Great. Chris Penn was on there. He's like he had no skills, you could tell. He's supposed to be on the American Taekwondo team. And he looks like he's like sucking down beers in between matches,
wearing a cowboy hat.
Yeah, wearing a cowboy hat. Oh, goo 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 goo. All right, and then you had Julia Roberts, Eric Roberts was in that movie. Come on, coach, I want to still fight. He was like a washed up guy,
and they had the proverbial split shoulder thing, Mel Gibson. You know what I mean? He had a dislocated shoulder, but I'm going to fight anyway.
Yeah. Hold on a second. Get it in. Anyway, this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. It's Monday here. It's Passover. Happy Passover for everybody. And I'm here with Ciro Dobrik.
Hey there.
And we'll have segment two, which, by the way, amazing things happening on airplanes today. I don't know if you guys saw the video of the United Airlines fiasco. Now, this is interesting. I got the videotape, and if you guys haven't at home, Google it right now for you guys on Facebook Live. I got to take that in a minute. anyway, hold on 1 second, please. We'll take that in a minute, and we're going to talk about that. That's a crazy situation.
I can't believe it,
but... Chinese doctor gets pulled off of United Airlines. And we got some other stories in segment two, along with Straight From Headlines.
World
we come back.
World War III.
All right, we'll be right back.
Hey, this is Bob Gullah with the Wake Up Dougie Show. It's time to wake up and bake.
Yeah, welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Welcome back
so
to the
awesome.
Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. A little Perfect Strangers by Deep Purple. Get it on iTunes. That's where I got it. Welcome back to the show. I'm here with Ciro Dobrik.
That's right. Can you remember?
That's right.
Remember
and
my name.
This is the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Two or three shows a week, myself, Ciro Dobrik, and usually Jen Hellman, who's here on Monday nights with us. Tuesday and Thursday, Peter Leonard and Elgin David from MTV's Wild and Out. And on Wednesday, sometimes we have the special Wise Guys interview show where the comedians from the Wise Guys comedy show are here in the studio. Matter of fact, this week we will have Bob DiBueno, who's right. Our headliner for Tavolino's. Great Trump impressionist.
Yeah.
He was actually recently on The View. They had a contest on there. I was pretty excited. So Bob's going to be here with his opening act, Bob Burr, who's the owner of Snapper's Comedy Club.
Snapper.
In Palm Harbor, where Bob will be performing this week on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I'll be headlining there. Bob's a good guy. Let me headline. You know, one of these comics,
cool.
Give me the shot. I'll be headlining there in July. I think July 14th, 15th, 16th at Snapper's Comedy Club in Palm Harbor over there, just outside Tampa area. So
Snapper.
Those guys will be here on Wednesday. If you want to stay tuned, we're going to have us on Facebook Live unless somebody says, oh, I can't be on TV. That's too bad. So segment two, let's talk about this. If you hope you guys on the break got to go and check out this video on United Airlines. Now, you know much about this story?
I didn't. I just Just what I just read right okay. now, but nothing.
Well, those of you know the story. Basically, they overbooked the flight, which can happen at times. A lot of times you're sitting in the at the gate and you hear that situation where, like, we have overbooked this flight. If any of you would like to volunteer missing this flight, we have a $400, $500, in this case, $800. Now, these people are offering $800 because they're already on the plane.
Okay.
So while they're on the plane, these people are like, if anybody would like to give up their seat, we'll give you $800. Now, I will tell you, unless I'm coming home to an emergency or something like that, or you know what I mean, I'm taking that $800.
Is
right?
Helpful.
That's what? That's about two or three round trip tickets.
Right.
Right?
You For think? Sure.
At least?
If it's a normal 300, then 800 is definitely.
Yeah, you think most round trip tickets are $300. So, you know, that's at least three trips, and you pay $100 on the last one. What the hell? But, you know, not these people. No. So nobody volunteered. Everybody's okay. on the plane, which is interesting because now they were making room for four United Airline workers. This is the part that I kind of a little fucked up with. But they had to let four people from the airline on the plane to get to another airport so they can get okay. on a flight and then be part of that crew. And that's where I'm kind of lost on that because I'm like, well, it's not like you have people that want, you know, somebody's got to lose. You know, if it's you, me, mm-hmm. or somebody else, somebody's not getting on this damn flight. But no, they had to make room for four. They needed four volunteers to make room for crew that had to fly to another airline or get to another airport for a flight.
Were those people going to help with the service? I mean, what?
Yeah, they're going to have that, like, free cookies?
You know what I mean?
A United passenger was forcibly removed from a flight from Chicago to Louisville after he refused to voluntarily give up his seat. They guess they had chosen, since nobody wanted to, they had to pick from random. And they picked this poor Asian doctor guy.
Okay.
And, I mean, you know, if you watch the video, you can basically find that's what happened. Now, I'm going to, here's what I'm going to do.
Do they really drag him off, though?
Yeah, they really do. Hold on, let me make sure I'm.
Pilots drive, DeLorme? Can't they rent a car for the pilots and have them drive?
No!
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 Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Now,
Oh my God.
What is going on in our
Now,
America?
What's funny about this video is this woman, she's trying to figure it out. I'm going to guess she's liberal. What do you think?
Sounds liberal.
Right. She's not happy that somebody's going to be in discomfort. In life, folks, there's always somebody, whether it's a party, right? You could be at a party. Whenever you could be at a great birthday party, everybody's hanging out. There's always one miserable fuck in that party.
Who invited Mr. Doom over?
Right. Jesus. Who invited that asshole? And you know what? These people, and then they go to people like you. The one, I'm not having a good time. I don't know what's wrong with me. I can't meet people. People, they're mean to me.
I'm sad.
Yeah. Good. Well, be sad over there.
Jeez.
My God. What are you doing?
What are you doing?
No, this is wrong. Look at what you did to him.
Look what you did to him. They punched him in the mouth. He resisted the fucking guy.
Did they punch him?
They, you know, he was like fighting with them. And he's Chinese guy or something.
Right.
Asian guy. I don't know.
That's extra, you know. You never know.
And the screaming was the guy. You know, here's a guy that says, now listen, I don't want to be an asshole. By the way, RJ says he came back on the flight, bloodied up. What's up with that? Yeah, he got punched in the mouth. So what? You know, they're trying to get him out. Sometimes you're trying to wrestle somebody.
He's a doctor. He can fix himself.
Yeah, he's a doctor. He's got great insurance. We're going to feel bad for this fucking guy. Now, you know, the guy's got, you know, I mean, people, like, calm down. Now, the guy, he didn't want to get out of the seat. Now, there's two things. It's like when a cop pulls you over, no matter how pissed off you are, if you want this thing to go well, you should treat the cop with really undue respect, whether he or she deserves it or not, right? Right. Yes, officer, I'm sorry, officer. You know, you try to be as least confrontational as possible because you may or may not get the ticket. You know what I mean? And I know cops that said that even when people do get a ticket and they're really nice and polite, they actually mark on the ticket. You know, a person was nice and polite, you know, about it sometimes. That way when you're in court, the guy will go, $50, no court fees. You know what I mean?
Right.
No points. You're like, why'd that happen? Because you weren't an asshole. That's probably why it happened. Nobody wanted to hear about your pre-law fucking, you know, class studies, you know, when you're getting a traffic ticket. And I can tell you this now. Now, my wife now sided a bit with the guy. I don't know if it was an Asian thing or not. But, you know, she was like, what happened? But I'm like, look, if I'm on a plane, and I don't like to be inconvenienced, you know that.
Right, right.
But if I'm on a plane, and for some sort of situation, they say, look, we did this thing on the computer, but you're like, you bought the last ticket, or you're the standby guy, you gotta give up, you have to leave. I'm not going to sit there and go, I'm not moving, because I know that I'm holding up everybody else.
Right.
I can tell you that as a negotiator, I'm going to say, yes, of course I will. I will take, we can start talking about the $800. Mm-hmm. Right? Think about it. If I'm getting off a plane, get $800. Now, this guy claimed that he had patients to see.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Which, you know, he's a doctor.
That's important.
We may find out he's like a foot doctor. You know, and some guy had a corn. He had a good, who knows? You know, but the point is, whatever happens, you got to get off the plane. We can't fly. The plane can't take off. Somebody's got to get off the plane.
Right.
Now, my question is to the airlines, why didn't they tell that staff, that's it, they're going to have to try to find another plane, but then I guess that holds up that plane, that causes all kinds of shit.
Wow.
$800. Would you take $800, Facebook?
I would take $800 over a bloodied up face on the flight back.
I'm not going to get in an argument. That's the thing. I'm not going to argue with the staff. When the police come to get me, when I'm on a plane, if the police were walking down the aisle and they're coming to get me, I am not. I'm not gonna bluff. I'm not fucking moving. You know what I mean? I'm not gonna play that game because I'm not gonna take it like that guy. I'm not gonna be dragged out like a bitch. Okay, there's gonna be a few guys gonna be dragged out. But and then I'm, you know what I'm saying? Now, do you think this guy's got a case like he could sue the airline at this point?
I don't know. It depends on if it looked like the guy was fighting back.
By the way,
if it looks like he was fighting back, then. You know what?
He got. That's when I think the scuffle when it, you know, right. This lady. Oh my God! Look what you did to him. They were fighting, and he got his blood. His lips bleeding. Listen, I've had a bloody lip from shaving. Mm-hmm. Okay, so calm down, lady. Rich Miller says I take a scotch. Yeah, listen, I'll get off the plane. Just give me a bottle of scotch, not the little one, you cheap bastards. Bottle of Johnny Walker. See, that's what I'm saying, guys. You guys, you know, I mean, why call? Yeah, there's some people now, you know.
And you know what, though? If he would have made a different kind of, like, Asian sound, like a Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
You would have thought, like, yeah. I think that would be more credible for him.
Maybe conjured up some energy, yeah. Like, you know.
And they would definitely not have been able to drag him off like that.
He should have used some Jedi power. Move to the next passenger.
The thing Move is, to the guy was passenger. Not being like water. That's...
No, he was being like wood.
He was sometimes water soft, sometimes water crash.
Yeah, sometimes water hot.
He definitely crashed.
Yes, he definitely crashed. And it's funny, now they dragged out a woman a few months ago out of an airplane, too. It was a black woman that something happened, and they dragged her out as well, the same way, you know, from the arms and, you know, feet from the, you know,
on their
back. What was,
how long did it take to get the guy out versus to get the lady out?
Well, this guy was smaller. He was a little Asian guy. The girl, the woman was pretty big. Yeah, she was like, you know, mama's house, big.
If they were going for know. Records.
Yeah. So, hey, man, if you're ever on a plane, they tell you got to get off, get off. And, you know, it's funny to watch that lady's reaction. Look what they did to him. Sometimes, that's the thing. There's so many people out there that are so, like with this thing with the missiles. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Like, I had the people posting, oh, it's World War III. I'm like, oh, my God, calm down there, Chucky. You know what I mean? World War III. Now, listen, who am I to say that, you know, I just know that right now, Iran, Russia, and North Korea, and China are all going, oh, fuck, you know, what are we, you know, we're going to, the pushing, this is a moment in a global sense where the pushing stops. You know, when you get into a fight, somebody pushes you, you push them, okay, enough of this dicking around, what's next?
This is the one guy takes his shirt off moment.
This was a bitch slap. I talk about the bitch slap, right? This was a bitch slap. The United States just bitch slapped Russia, China, North Korea, and Iran all at the same time. Like, hey, all right, what are you going to do now? That was a bitch slap. And, you know, nobody got hurt. A bunch of planes got blown up. They warned Russia, right? They warned them.
Right. Well, listen, I think he did it the right way. I'm not the president. I don't know what the intel was, but if it was message sent, message was sent.
I would say so.
If it was replenishing our stock, we are definitely replenishing our stock.
Yeah.
So.
Here's a story I thought was interesting. Again, segment two, we like to talk about things that are interesting. And again, getting pulled off an airplane is the most interesting thing I could think about. Now, have you ever dashed and dined, or dined and dashed? I guess it would be. It's dine and dash,
I've
right?
never dined and dashed, but we right. definitely try to pull scams.
You guys know what dine and dash is. Dine and dash is you go somewhere to eat. What's up, Tim Kirby and Bob Burr, who we just talked about? By the way, you know, you eat, you sit there and you eat, and then somebody goes to the bathroom, right? That's usually a good move. I'll be right back. I'm going to the bathroom. And that person goes to the bathroom and then skippers out to the building, hopefully gets the getaway car ready and doesn't forget you. You know, and then you, then at that point, then you get out and, you know, oh, I got to go to the bathroom now too. And then you try
both
to
leave.
You try not to look for the waiter because, you know, the waiter's probably going to notice. A lot of times a good waiter, a waitress may notice that somebody's gone. Now this second person's leaving the table and then you leave, you get out, you get to dinner for free. And, you know, is it worth it? You know, can you really, if your dinner was $100, can anybody press charges over $100? You may
I
have to,
believe
the
so.
Worst thing that can is, you may have to come back on and say, I'm sorry, and pay the $100.
I think if it hits $100, you're in trouble.
Aspiring rapper eats $621 worth of seafood and then jumps in the sea to beat the check. So this was a dash and a dine and dive.
Dine and dive.
This was a dine and dive in Australia. An aspiring rapper. That's pretty bad if you're an aspiring rapper.
From Australia.
Right. From Australia, the like, rap capital of the world. A rapper from Australia was in court this week after he allegedly devoured hundreds of dollars worth of seafood and beer before swimming away without paying. Now, you all know that you got to wait at least 20 minutes before you dash and dive.
Unless it's seafood.
Yeah. Yeah? You can, yeah.
Cause
well, I guess if you eat some calamari... Right. Maybe you're like...
Gives you an extra little kick.
Yeah, Queensland police say Terry Peck or Tupac. You're kidding me. I'm Tupac.
I'm Tupac,
that's right.
Mate.
I'm Tupac. Not Tupac. I'm Tupac. Ran onto the
Nobody's
beach.
Nobody's shooting Tupac.
Into the Pacific Ocean after $621 meal of lobster tails. I love lobster tails. 17 oyster shooters. Gotta love the oysters.
Wow.
Eat oysters.
Yeah,
I love the royal oysters.
To take 17 shots in a row and then jump off the
a baby octopus,
really,
and several beers. Employees at Omero's Bros, a restaurant in Surfer's Paradise, called police who hopped on jet skis with the help of lifeguards after arriving at the scene. Police say they engaged with Peck in the water. See, this guy couldn't even swim away. Well, he is a black rapper. Couldn't swim.
Was going to ask that earlier.
Yeah.
I was like, what kind of plan was that?
I don't know. He could be white. Police were then forced into the water and apprehend the man, who said, I want to get on my plane, bringing him back to shore without an incident. Well, it's kind of hard to fight in the water.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Where was it again?
You know, like
Australia?
James Bond. Yeah.
You're not fighting the cops and great white sharks.
That's right. You got great whites underneath you. I mean, you beat up the cop. Next thing you know, great white eats your ass.
So.
Yeah. So,
what a dangerous.
So that's dine and dive.
Dine and dive.
That would have been a much better.
I mean, if it worked out the way we think it is, it might have been dine and drown, but we don't know.
dine and drown,
but
yeah.
Luckily, they caught him.
It may have been a flawed plan. Like I said, you eat all that food and then you jump in the water and you got a cramp, and you're like, oh, I'm gonna get a
And all he really did was make himself more delicious for sharks.
I was just going to say, the shark's like, that's a great idea. He ate a baby octopus. Arr. Eat that shit. You ever have a, I love this story first. Hold on a second. This was great. Now, you would think, you know, people get married. That's like the happiest day of your life, right? Right? Have you ever been married, Ciro?
I have not been
You've
married.
You've never been married. No. So. I've been married, and I'd say it was pretty. I don't know how it was the happy. It was happy, you know. Listen, it was a happy day. I had a lot of people, but I sweat. You know, I know it was the sweatiest day of my life.
Right.
I sweat like I was a human sprinkler when I was at the altar. But you know, you think this is a momentous occasion?
It's really abnormally hot.
Yeah, you get really when you're sitting there and you start going over the vows and you realize this is for real. It hit you. Man missing after he allegedly jumped off cruise ship on his honeymoon. Boy, that must have been some bad pussy. Made me wait till I was married. And God, it smelled like hard hell.
He'd rather live in the sea. That's how bad she smelled.
Yeah, he heard there was a rapper performing in the ocean. Georgia man, who was on his honeymoon, is missing after he reportedly jumped over the balcony of a cruise ship on Friday. Rico Scott, 32, disappeared from Carnival Cruise Line's Liberty ship at 5 a.m. When he allegedly was seen jumping from the ninth deck balcony, according to the reports.
How ironic.
The ship reportedly turned around after crew members were notified of the jump. As of Saturday, after calling in the Coast Guard, Scott was nowhere to be found, reports
he
said.
He got away. He got away.
And he swam all the way home. Liberty resumed course of the Bahamas Friday afternoon, according to the news. Scott was on his honeymoon with his wife, Angelica Scott, after they renewed their vows. Oh.
How'd she spell her name? Was it with a J?
Yeah, Angelica. A-N-G-E-L-I-J-I-C-A. Angelica.
Whoa. The J at the end.
Yeah?
He had to get out.
He had a jump.
There's no
he was,
other
he was actually, they actually found a Walkman on the side of the pier. He was like playing Van Halen's Jump. they renewed their vows. Now, oh man, I mean, how bad could it be? You're on a cruise and you're going to jump off. Wow. I mean, you know what I mean?
You never know.
You just renewed your vows. You're going to kill yourself. I mean, can the guy really want to kill himself? I mean, he probably said, okay, let's do this shit. And then he realized the second time he did
maybe
it.
Maybe it wasn't what they were doing. It was the vow she made him re-say.
Yeah. You can't hang out with that stripper girl anymore. Shit. You can't be out playing basketball at 2 in the morning. Shit.
And there will be no more porno magazines.
Are I'm going to get rid of all porn? Your porn. Damn it.
It's over.
I'm getting the fuck out of here.
I'm jumping. What's that over there? Jump.
Honey, look, a shark. yeah, I mean, they say that's the perfect crime, by the way. If you ever want to get rid of somebody, take them on a cruise and then accidentally push them over the balcony.
Get them over.
You know, you can always say we got, you know, you don't want to say it was a fight. You know, like we were dancing. She was a big Dancing with the Stars fan, and she really right. wanted me to turn her around and dip her. I mean, I told her it was a bad idea to do it on the balcony.
But she insisted.
She was a pain. I mean, she was a beautiful woman. I got to hold back. You know, geez, what can you do?
Don't they have a name for when you do it on a cruise ship? Isn't it called like a Holloway or something? Like a Natalie Holloway?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what they...
Yeah,
that joke, horrible. Sorry.
Yeah, that's an old... You know, sorry. I don't know how many people know what happened. Natalie Holloway, who was married to that actor guy now. I'm trying to... Wasn't he in Vegas or big actor?
Know.
Yeah, he caught a lot of heat. There was a lot of people on that boat. I think even Christopher Walken was on that boat.
Right.
You know, when all that shit happened. I don't know what happened. She just fell off. No one does any more Christopher Walken impressions anymore.
Not good one, then.
Yeah, at least. I'm sure as hell mine wasn't. Anyway, this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. It's Monday night. It's Passover. Happy Passover to everybody. And I'm here at Ciro Dobrik.
We are talking about the life.
Who's going to be, by the way, and we come back, he's going to be reading from the Torah and from the... What's the Muslim one?
And little pocket-sized Korans.
The Koran.
Pocket-sized.
Yeah, exactly. You don't know the Koran. Anyway, we'll be back straight from the headlines right after this. Hey, this is Dougie Almeida from the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Why don't you come out and see a show? You can catch me April 20th to the 23rd at the Comedy Catch in Chattanooga, Tennessee. On May 3rd through the 6th, I'll be at the Looney Bin in Little Rock, Arkansas. May 10th through the 13th, I'll be at the Looney Bin in Wichita, Kansas. May 19th, I'll be at the Claremont Performing Arts Center in Claremont, Florida. May 31st at the Mississippi Moon Bar at the Diamond Joe Casino in Dubuque, Iowa. And on June 1st to the 3rd, I'll be at Penguins Comedy Club in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. For more dates, go to DougieAlmeida.com. And remember, we want to make you laugh, so come on out and enjoy live comedy anywhere you possibly can. Thanks for listening, guys, and now back to the show.
Hey, this is Pete Lee, and you're listening to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show, because it's late, and I just woke up.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show!
And now, for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's straight from the headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show, and it's time for Straight from the Headlines, where we talk about things from around the world and make fun of it. And by the way, Jeff Randall says they killed him in prison, I think. Oh, that guy.
Vanderhead?
Wagner. What's his name?
Robert Wagner.
Robert Wagner.
Robert Wagner.
Robert Wagner. Yeah, wasn't he, who was he in? Robert Wagner.
He was,
Is he the guy in Vegas? TV show Vegas?
No.
No? That's no, another, that's was, Robert Ulrich or something.
No, that was Sonny from Godfather.
That was a different show.
What's his name?
It's a different show. Catch up. Here's a story. And I always get nervous with the story of words that I have not seen in a while. So I had a proofread now, because on the show I've not proofread. I just read from it. And sometimes you read through it and you don't realize that you're reading words incorrectly. And I look like a doofus.
Tupac.
Or a pint instead of a pint. College giving degrees to 6 family members, 5 posthumously.
Nice, nice.
You know what that is?
Of course.
Okay. Now, I haven't heard that word in a while, but you heard it now and you understand what it is.
Yeah.
What does it mean? It
means dead.
Right. From the dead. Yeah, like,
from the dead.
Yeah. A Boston college is presenting honorary bachelor degrees to 6 members of a New Hampshire family, 5 of them posthumously. Posthumously. Wentworth Institute of Technology said the members of the Downing family, not the drowning family, graduated with 2-year degrees between 1914 and 1965. The surviving Wentworth graduate from the family is 72-year-old Jonathan Downing from the class of 1965, who will pick up his honorary bachelor's degree on campus. These honorary degrees are bullshit.
What's the agenda of that?
Getting a degree?
Yeah, giving somebody a degree posthumously. Who does that benefit? The Downings upset that in 1914 it's not the same as it is in 2017?
It's like they had a different emblem. Yeah, like I got Nova University. My degree's from Nova University. Now it's Nova Southeastern University.
Mascot.
Yeah, it is. It used to be the Nova Knights. Right now, it's the Nova Southeastern Sharks.
Yep.
No. You know, it's like I was a knight. People are like, what the hell's that?
Yeah, they don't even know.
The coach from the Nova University soccer team emailed me because they're like trying to say, hey, want to get in touch and you know, be more, you know, with the alumni. And I took the wife to an alumni game a few years ago, and a lot before that, I played, and I played an alumni game. This is back in, God, it must have been like 2002,
okay,
something like that. 2001, 2000. And that's when I was fighting, so I was in better shape. And I played that. Our team, the old fucks, everybody with knee braces on, and we were tied 1-1 at half with Nova's team. And then now Nova's is an NCAA school.
Good team.
And we were 1-1, and I had saved like 5, like literally, I was like, people are like, my players are coming, like, why weren't you this good in college, dude? And I said, well, I have a strength coach now. I'm taking this shit seriously. And, it was great. And then they put the schlep in the goal. This other guy who's like, you know, he played like 10 years before me, and it was like 5-1 by the end of the game. So, yeah, a little alumni.
You held it. You held yours down.
Yeah, I did good. I can't play no alumni now. By the way, that was like funny.
At 50.
At Greenville, South Carolina, at the Comedy Zone in Greenville, to get there, it's you got to walk up like 4 flights of stairs to get to the club. And I'm like, oh, man, my knees are not good with stairs, man.
That's,
I'm telling you, I've talked about it on the show. My knees are like, stairs are like... And my wife gets on the Stairmaster.
Right.
I'm like, I'm not getting on that fucking thing.
No way.
I see people doing that. And they stick their leg out, and they walk, and they stick their leg out. I'm like, just walk up the stairs.
Doing yoga up the stairs.
Yeah. Would you imagine seeing somebody walk up the stairs doing pirouettes and stuff? Calm down.
My knee almost gives every time.
Yeah. South Dakota man gets $190 fine for snake without a leash.
Perfect.
I didn't know you could put a snake on a leash. Love. Right? Can you put a snake on a leash?
I know you can make a snake into a leash.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can put it on a leash.
I'm just saying. Sioux Falls, South Dakota, a man who was fined for allowing his pet snake to slither freely in South Dakota Park, said an animal control officer suggested he use a leash to restrain the reptile. After laughing hysterically, Jerry Gimble said he initially thought the recommendation was a joke because it was April Fool's Day when he first was fined $190. So if you get a $190 fine on April Fool's Day and has that date on it, and they say, hey, you haven't paid this bill yet. Come on, I thought it was a joke.
Right, especially for what it was for, a snake on a leash.
Yeah, putting a snake on a leash. Can I get that at PetSmart? Can I get that somewhere?
Is that a Korn song?
Yeah, Snake on
Snake
a Leash.
Snake on a Leash?
Freak on a Leash.
Freak on a Leash. Yeah. I knew it was close.
I'm getting to Korn. I got that. I did a little new intro with their song and stuff. And I always said if I came back and fought in the ring, I would come out with Coming Undone.
Nice.
Right? It's a great tune.
Definitely get motivated to fight.
Last week, for Animals Running at Large, told Argus News, he was literally asking me to put a rope around my snake. I think they were having sex, maybe. This is, Kimball said, it was like, dude, no, I was dumbfounded. Kimball was approached by the officer after the woman complained that his fire b-ball python was roaming freely at Falls Park in Sioux Falls. Animal Control Supervisor Julie DeJong said a city ordinance requires all pets to be leashed or restrained in public. Well, I guess that would happen, too, if you brought an elephant.
Yeah.
You'd have to put a leash around the elephant.
Well, listen, who doesn't put their elephant on a leash?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, if the elephant tries to get away, like, come here, you tug him a little bit. You tug, get it. You know, you got to give him a little forceful tug.
It's common courtesy to put your elephant on a leash.
You got to have an elephant on a leash, man. Otherwise, mayhem can occur.
And this is, you know, this is South Dakota. Now, when you get a little further south, some pets are actually, you know, significant others. So you don't have to put a leash on your goat and your sheep.
Really?
You know, no. They have equal rights, too.
Oh, really? You know what I mean? Yeah, if you bang them, then, you know, they don't have to be put on a leash.
They get half the house, everything.
Yeah, they get everything. DeJong added the snake lovers should be more sensitive to the aversion of many people. Now, listen, these snake and reptile lovers are all freaky asses because these huge-ass iguanas are getting all over the place.
They're everywhere.
Right, you know what I mean? And let me tell you something. Last thing I want in the middle of the night when I go outside is my dog getting, you know, having to attack or could get eaten by some 6-foot iguana.
Jeez.
That some guy says, oh, I guess we can't take care of this anymore. Just let it out. On these pythons.
They never let it out little. They always let it out at like 5 feet.
And they don't do it in their neighborhood. They drive, you know, they drive like 30 minutes somewhere and just let it out somewhere. Oh, there's a nice canal. What happened to our dog? You know what I mean? And then not only that, now we got this big issue in the Everglades with these pythons. They got to go out and send these hunters out.
Yeah.
You know, they're eating the alligators. They're eating all the birds.
They're getting pythons and what? Anacondas or mixing?
Yeah. I mean, it's just, the next thing you know, you're gonna go out to the Everglades, you're going to have like a 50 fucking foot snake. You know what I mean? It's going to be like Godzilla days.
Yeah. Dude.
Oh, look at it. Get a dog, okay? Get a dog. You don't need to get a python. What are you, bad? Oh, look at me. I got a python, you putz. Fucking, these attention getters. I got a python. Look at me. I'm so cool. I got a snake.
Do you have a girlfriend? No.
No.
Oh, but you have a python. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And I put it around me when I go out at night.
Good job.
Yeah. Idiots. Can we please stop buying snakes and reptiles? You know, listen, let's do something here. Let's get away from let's do more like local terrorism. Let's blow up all the local reptile shops.
Oh, there you go.
You know, we don't need reptiles. Haven't you guys seen that movie V? Just saying.
Coming in stealing the monitor like in The Freshman.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, listen, I don't know about you guys, but we had a conversation one time about death. Death. You know, like my parents are at a cemetery together.
Death.
Yeah, and then you go and you visit people in the cemetery, and after a while you're like, you know, it's kind of a weird thing. And somebody, but this is interesting. Slovenian firm brings tombstones to life with digital content.
That's really cool.
Right? So instead of just having like, rest in peace, you know,
the little words.
It's like got pictures and shit. It's got LED screens, digital screens that just keep showing.
That's very cool.
Wouldn't that be funny if it gets hacked and they show all like his dick pics?
Yeah. Well,
you go.
With the way the NSA is collecting data, you can show anything eventually.
In Maribor, Slovenia, a firm in Slovenia are giving tombstones a 21st century makeover with 48-inch interactive screens that can show pictures, video, and other digital content. The Proboriz Cemetery on the outskirts of Maribor. You ever been there?
No. You guys have any food over there in Slovenia? Nope. No. What do you have? We have digital tombstones.
That's right. When you die from hunger, when you die from malnutrition in our country, you have a beautiful tombstone. At first glance, it looks like any other, but standing in front of it for a few seconds activates its sensors and brings it to life, turning it into an interactive screen capable of playing just about any kind of digital content. I can imagine some open micers going, when I die, I want to put my five-minute set on there so I can die forever and ever.
Bomb for eternity. Bomb for eternity.
By the way, guys, always a bit of advice, and I heard some other comics talking about this weekend. If you're a newer comic, don't be in a hurry to put your shit on YouTube. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And be careful what videos you send to club owners. I had a club owner say, dude, you got to see the video that this person sent me. And I watch it and I go, what on God's green earth would make this person think they get hired from this shit? Tombstones was developed with the help of Milan Zorman, a professor of computing at the University of Maribor, who had nothing obviously better to do, who said that they are working on a special smartphone application which will further increase the tombstone's interactivity.
Oh, sweet.
I would like that. I'd like to have a little tombstone, maybe like different shit happening. Like, you know, that people come up. Then you'd give you a reason to go. It'd give you a good reason to go to a cemetery.
I was going
to
say.
And then you got to pay admission. Because who, you know, how do cemeteries make money? They get all that money up front. The bodies are in there.
Wow.
And then, you know, okay, we're almost full. You know, we got 8 acres of land here.
Well, then I'd have to be true on keeping the bodies there, because you know that after like 50 years, they
after. Well, I heard that isn't there a rule that after 50 years or something like that, after a certain amount of time, they can pretty much dig them up, burn them all, and yeah.
So.
Could you imagine? You live next to a cemetery when it's the 48th year. All of a sudden, they start digging all that shit up. You're freaking out. You'd be like that lady on the plane. What are you doing with them?
Talk about your sinuses acting up.
Yeah, right? All that dust. All that dirt. The dust. Or what am I saying? Bone dust? Nothing worse than bone dust. That's what a stripper goes and gets you when you give her 50 bucks to get her your Coke.
Bone dust.
Comes back already mixed.
You get no booger sugar.
That's right. UK woman who urinated on Trump golf course loses case.
I'm going to show him.
Wow.
I'm going to piss over the greens in number 9.
God, I hate this guy. Let me do something that's way worse than he does.
Yeah.
Pee on something.
I'm going to do this in my British voice. In London, a British woman who was photographed urinating on a golf course in Scotland, founded by President Donald Trump, lost her demand for damages on Wednesday, but said she was very relieved that her name had been cleared. Carol Rohan Bates, 62, and longtime campaigner against the course in northeast Scotland, said staff breached data protecting laws, secretly taking pictures on her on April 2016 when she took a piss. Bets, who says she has a bladder problem, amongst other things, had no choice but to urinate in a sand dune.
Nice.
So £3,000, approximately $3,700, ever since Brexit, in damages from Trump International Golf Link Scotland.
I got sand in my coochie.
What is in her piss?
The firm said staff members were collecting evidence of the criminal act, much like you do when you're cat pisses in the pot, or the litter
it's
box.
Just a giant shovel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look, it clumps up when you piss
it's
in it.
A clumper.
What's that? What's that? There is some like kitty litter that clumps up nicely when the cats piss.
Clump-like or something.
Clumper. It's called a clumper. A judge at Edinburgh Sheriff's County said Betts shouldn't have been filmed, but declined award damages, saying her distress was not caused by the company's failure to register under the Data Protection Act. The damage was caused because you want to piss there, love.
Yeah. I'll piss off.
Ah, piss off, mate.
Pee on you.
That's a new thing I'm asking all our listeners to do. Next time somebody says, hey, what's up? Say, what's up, mate?
Mate.
That's my big thing. I always say that, you know, because, I have British back. My family's from a British
I did notice the pattern today. We had the Australians.
Right.
The English.
A little bit of, mates. You know, across the pond.
Shrimps on the barbie.
That's right. We had a famous rapper. I said famous.
Tupac.
Ah, boy. Here's an interesting story. Machete cuts off man's hand in fight, but it gets reattached.
During the fight? Like, what was going on? What kind of Star Wars voodoo is this?
Now, let me ask you, do you ever have a dream like that where something like, I've had a dream like that where something like that's happened and I try to pick something, I put it back on, like a tooth falls out, you try to put it back in.
Right.
It's like a weird thing psychological wise that why that happens. But like when the Boston bombing happened, you know, they were talking about, there were scenes where those people are sitting there and they see their leg like over 4 feet away, you know. I mean, that's incredible. But you imagine you're in a fight with a machete, and then you look down and see your hand. It's like looking at you with a middle finger.
Unbelievable. I wouldn't even know what to do.
A Massachusetts man whose hand was cut off by a machete during a fight has had it reattached, and authorities say the suspect has been ordered held without bail. The news says reports that police responded to a Lowell public housing project Wednesday night. Prosecutors said police officers at first found only the hand because the victim ran away screaming. His family told authorities the hand was reattached at a hospital. Unfortunately, they attached it to his cock. His family told authorities the hand was blah, blah, blah. The suspect, 54-year-old Domingo Ayala, was ordered held without bail Thursday pending a hearing to determine whether he is dangerous. He cut somebody's hand off.
With a machete.
He faces charges including assault and battery with a dangerous weapon.
In public.
Prosecutors say the victim got into an argument with Ayala's son, and at some point, Ayala retrieved the machete. Ayala's attorney did not mention, was not mentioned in the call.
Ayala boys, watch out.
Yeah, imagine to be a little numb. I still got numbness in my left hand from falling asleep on a bad couch a year and a half ago.
Imagine.
So I imagine if my hand was chopped off.
But that would be weird. You would definitely have to dream with full limbs.
Right.
Whatever, you know?
Yeah.
What's the psychological principle that you were saying? It was.
What's that?
Do you know what the psychological principle
is? No, like, yeah, you have fear of like you're losing your job, or you're scared of, like, it's permanent, things like that. You're scared of.
Okay.
You feel like you're
losing control,
you know,
or
you're about to get divorced, or about, you just lost a job. Those things, you'll have those, like if you just lost a job or something like that happened.
Right.
You start losing confidence in things that are permanent, like your teeth. Mm. Like, I know people, how many of you guys had a dream where your teeth crack or started falling out? You're like, oh, you know.
Yeah, it wasn't a dream. That was not a dream.
That was a fact. We never had any dental insurance. All right. I don't know if I have many good stories left. We'll do this one. Airline changes its tune after banning, then allowing cello, C-E-L-L-O. I thought it was Jello, but it's cello, right?
Yeah, they can't do Jello anymore.
No Jello?
No. No. It's got a bad name. It's got a bad
name. Does anybody still eat Jello? I mean, you know, I remember my mom used to make Jello. It was tasty. And I remember Jello was always something like, I don't want to eat it. Then you eat it like, oh, I'm glad I ate it. It tasted pretty good.
I always thought that commercial with the pudding pop was always weird.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So you went, the hell with the Jello. You went like, did you ever make like those fake things? Like, you ever take like fruit punch and put it in like ice cube makers and do that? Make your own little, I did that once or twice, and you're like, why would I do that? A lot of these popsicles are like $1.50.
Right, right. This does not make sense.
Airline changes tune after banning, then allowing cello. Local news reports a musician was booted off an American Airlines flight after the crew said his cello posed a safety risk. Those are big pieces of equipment.
It's got that big, long
kickstand. It's like you have to buy it a seat. John Kaboff says he was removed from his flight on Tuesday from Reagan National Airport to Chicago O'Hare, which, by the way, is where the other shit happened. After the crew said his cello touched the floor and couldn't be strapped into the extra seat, he brought for it. He had to buy it. He had to buy an extra seat for the fucking cello.
He was doing everything he was supposed to.
Yeah. Imagine having it. That's a dedicated act. If I was a comic and I had like a cello as my. Yeah, well, I think it, like, listen, I can't work outside the state. I can't fly.
Exactly. That's when you get your own theater and you have people come to you.
The crew said his cello touched the floor and couldn't be strapped in the extra seat he brought for it. He says he asked for a seatbelt extension to better cradle the $100,000 cello, but was denied. The 46-year-old Kaboff of Vienna, Virginia, says ground personnel acknowledged the error and booked him on the next American Airlines flight to Chicago, where he saw a pissed off Asian man being dragged
out of the while screaming.
And got his seat on the next plane. Can you imagine?
That would be the best Thai story ever.
That guy gets pulled out and his wife come off the plane by screaming. And this guy walks in with a cello.
Why did I get pulled off? A fucking cello.
I got replaced with a cello. I'm a doctor. Anyway.
A chero.
A chero.
There's no cheros in this one.
That chero, she horrible. A Spanish singer, chero, chicuchi, coochie,
coochie, coochie.
Not chero, you idiot.
A cello.
They told him to chill out. Thanks, RJ. That's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I want to thank Ciro Doberg for joining me today.
Thank you very much, Dougie.
And how can they follow you, buddy?
We got I got stuff at Ciro Comic. And then actually April 29th, they got a big show, Comedy for the Cure with Damian Seaman.
Mm-hmm.
Nadeem Awad is hosting it, and we are doing that at the Brass Monkey in Lake Worth.
Very cool. By the way, don't forget, guys, Wise Guys Comedy Show Wednesday night, Wise Guys Comedy Show at Tavolino della Notte. I'm your host, Bill Burr is your feature, and Bob DiBueno is your headliner. I'm going to be excited. I'm going to be excited because I'm doing some kosher comedy shows this week, and then next week, April 20th through the 24th, I believe it is. That's Thursday through Sunday. I'm going to be at the Comedy Catch in Chattanooga, Tennessee. So go there, and see if you guys are up in that area, great town, great room, Comedy Catch, April 20th through the 23rd or 24th. Go to DougieAlmeida.com for more dates. Go to catch me on Twitter and at Instagram at Dougie Dangerous. Don't forget to follow the show at Wake Up Dougie. And join our fan page on Facebook at Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Also, check out my fan page at The Always Dangerous Dougie Almeida. Thanks for listening, guys. Tomorrow in the studio, Elgin David and Peter Leonard. If one of those guys don't call in like a bunch of pussies, we'll have everybody here tomorrow. If not, maybe we'll run a rerun. I don't know. Don't care.
Who knows?
I do care, actually. I'm only kidding. But whatever. You know what I'm saying. This is a podcast. Don't forget to donate, by the way, on our Patreon page. Then
please
I can.
Do. Please
yeah.
do.
It's $1 a month if you guys want. That's it. Or you can just give us $5. Any money collected will be given as gas money to my co-hosts who come in from a long ways. Thanks, guys, for listening, and we'll see you here tomorrow at this same spot. Take care.
See you next week.
People on Earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they travel to the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside. Thick beam of light hit the ground. Everyone felt the sound of their heartbeat. Every man, every woman, every child. They guessed the limits of imagination.